everybody. This is Joseph Hasek of barnburner.ca. Our twice daily Fired Up show is available on 108 platforms, also on the OSG Sports app. This is a very special edition of Ask the MP, featuring Aaron Siemens, formerly WWE's Damian Sandow. We're not going to have questions from fans this week because Aaron watched the WWE Fastlane pay-per-view for the first time since he's left the WWE. You're excited, Aaron. You're excited. You watched the road to WrestleMania. Aren't you thrilled? Aren't you happy you watched that?
Well, you know what? I have not seen the WWE product or really much wrestling at all since I left WWE. You know, if you're listening for the first time, and I apologize if you're not listening for the first time, but I essentially decided to go into acting, ended up in Malibu, and just living in my own little twilight zone out here. You know, keeping in contact with some of my friends that are still on the road and everything like that. But it's mostly just, hey, how you doing? How's everything going? How's the family type of deal? And this past Sunday, I was at a friend's house, and, you know, we're just having like a little just Sunday get-together, and he's a wrestling fan, his son's a huge wrestling fan, and they, unbeknownst to me, got the pay-per-view. So I sat and I watched it. It was the first time I had seen really, you know, more than like a minute or two of the product. And I have some questions for you guys.
All right, hold on. I forgot to introduce because I was so excited. I can't believe it. You watched the pay-per-view. I should have called you to do the pay-per-view recap. But with Steve Carney of WDAE in Tampa Bay, Florida, and Giancarlo Aleno of Barn Burner. Okay, Aaron, go ahead. Ask whatever you want to ask. Ask us anything.
All right, here we go. But, okay, I want to preface the show before we get into this with this. And, you know, if you guys want to back me up or not back me up, whatever. I have really kind of detached myself from that industry, and not in a bitter, like, I'm mad at them because, you know, my career didn't end up where I thought it would. No, I've always, I think, been very honest and very grateful and have expressed that in terms of what I did have from not just WWE, but the whole wrestling industry. But, you know, WWE definitely included that, and they were certainly financially better to me than any other promotion I had worked for. And I am trying to just be very, very unbiased and just to give an objective opinion, but from somebody who spent really the majority of my life in that industry. So I don't want to sound like someone who is angry at the business, because there was also some very positive things that I want to talk about too. But I have said time and time again, you know, when we discuss things on here, first and foremost, no matter what, the paying customer is the most important component, and not just wrestling, but any form of entertainment, right? In, you know, in film and television, you know, you want to deliver a performance that's going to resonate with your audience. And the same thing goes for pro wrestling. I was shocked when, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm watching it, and Cleveland has always been a hot town. So, you know, there's really no excuse. I thought the sound, like something was wrong with the television because of how quiet the crowd was. And I know, like we spoke briefly, I asked you, was that an abnormally quiet crowd, or has the product been like that? Like, has it been, you know, when these stars, and they are stars, I mean, they are WWE performers. When their music hits, it's, and this doesn't go for everyone, but the majority of people that they were, you know, it appeared they were trying to push due to, you know, them having titles and everything else like that. Just the lack of emotion from the crowd to when, you know, someone's music hits to, you know, different parts in the match. Now, I did notice pretty much across the board, the style has changed. The style is, I mean, man, it is exciting to watch. And I just want to, first of all, like, I don't know a lot of these new people. some guys I crossed paths with on the indies and things like that, and I've met, but the moves are absolutely amazing. I mean, these guys were doing things that I can't even pronounce the names of. And really, like, athletically, just incredible and breathtaking. And I mean, I was in awe at some of these guys. The guy that was it a triple threat with Ray in there?
Ray
Mysterio. Well, it was a fatal four way.
Yeah.
You had,
okay.
You had
Samoa
Joe, that, and you had your boy Truth, and then Andrade, who was
the kid with the
Mexico,
beard, right?
La Sombra.
Yeah.
And then Ray.
He's got the beard. Absolutely incredible. I mean, wow, that kid, I tell you what, he has it, and I tell you who else I was super impressed with was Ricochet's partner, Black.
Aleister Black, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, what an entrance. I mean, what a great character. Just like, wow, you know, and athletically, what that guy can do. In my opinion, the kid's a star. But what, like, okay, so you know what? Let's take that first of all. And this is not, again, I I'm the type of person, and I've said this before, and my career has kind of proven it. I don't think you need the office behind you or creative to get over with the fans. You don't necessarily need that huge push, right? And even if they give you things that are, let's just say, less than favorable or less than conducive to developing your character the best way, it's on the performer to go out there and to make it and to make it their own. However, just from my opinion, and I am going to be, I don't want to say critical, but I'm just going to give my opinion on what, like, some booking or writing or whatever they're calling it now. When you have someone as talented as Ricochet, who, I mean, he's like a superhero. In my opinion, you know, from a technical standpoint, he is like Rey Mysterio in the sense of, you know, he's doing things that no one's seen before. And it's just absolutely incredible. And he's a nice kid, by the way. The couple times I've met him have been really positive and pleasant. Now, you have him who can easily stand alone. Then, and I was asking my friend who watched this, like, I was like, so what is the reason you have Ricochet teaming with this other kid, Aleister Black? Really, I mean, there's not a lot of explanation, and they come down to the ring separately. I mean, Aleister Black has this, oh my God, they kind of like put him up. It was like the Demon in WCW. But really great look. Why would you not give him 4 weeks of vignettes and introduce a character and really make him something special that fans can get emotionally involved in? Because look, and again, like with the style they're working now, I'm assuming people are becoming really desensitized to unbelievable displays of athleticism. And am I right or am I wrong? Because
no, you're absolutely. I think you're absolutely right. I think you're absolutely right, Aaron. Because for me, like I'm used to the old school way of you know, watching guys work, especially in WWE. You know, having grown up in the Northeast, like you, having gone through, you know, the years, and you and I are about the same age. You know, watching the big guys, and especially at the very end of the Vince McMahon senior era back in the early 80s, and watching that basically go on for an extra 20 years. And now to see what's going on, you know, the guys have gotten smaller, the guys have gotten lighter. You know, there's a lot more athleticism. And I do think that guys and the audience is getting desensitized to a lot of these moves. You know, Ricochet's 630. You know, that's his finisher. That would be something that if this were, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, you would see that move like twice a year, and it would be like, oh my God, the whole world would pop. you know, when that came. It's kind of like James
incredible
Mann doing the cross the ring drop kick into the trash can. You know, that's something that we saw once or twice, and everybody, and especially you remember WrestleMania 17 when he did it for the first time with his father on the other side of it, and everybody went nuts inside the Houston Astrodome. Now it seems like he's doing it every week, and it's like no big deal. And I think that hurts the product, wouldn't you say?
Well, I mean, if he was going to use that as his finisher, right? I mean, look, if the kid can do that every night and not hurt his opponent or himself, see, and I'm all for that because, look, even in the last 10 years, like when I was there and stuff, no, the style got kicked up a notch, right? I mean, you started to see the more athletic, and even like, especially when Rey came there, when Rey mm-hmm. first started coming in the WWE, like, and Rey Mysterio was the guy who bridged the gap between that high-flying athletic style and proper storytelling. And
yeah.
Now proper storytelling, like, and I'm going to kind of equate this to what I have going on out here, right? You know, you have an author. So someone writes a script, right? As an actor, you need the question that is asked first and foremost by good actors, what is the author's intent? And mm-hmm. in wrestling, what are the writer's intent, right? When you have a match, good guy versus bad guy, if good guy is about to beat the bad guy hits him with a chair and pins him, the intent is to make people feel something for the good guy, to make them angry at the bad
yeah.
guy, say, that guy cheated. You know, and this is a very basic thing, but it's very true. So that's a basic story, right? They want to feel robbed, like the good guy got robbed. That's basic storytelling, but it also works.
Mm-hmm.
And look, wrestling moves are a vehicle to take people on that emotional roller coaster or just to simply make them feel something emotionally so you can drive the product forward and go to the next town, and people will buy tickets for live events. There will be interest in the television product. The television product sells the pay-per-views, and it just keeps going on and on. The pay-per-views, you know, the stars are made, you know, when...
Yeah.
And again, I am all for these... I'm going to say how blown away I was by the new talent. Absolutely
yeah.
incredible. I don't know how their mic skills are, but really... I don't think there was a lot of emphasis on mic skills. I mean, you had Ronnie, Truth, who he comes out there, and he got one of the biggest pops of the night because Truth understands entertainment. Truth understands how to interact with a crowd, how to make people feel something. They're invested in the character of our Truth. It's entertaining when he's doing something, when he's talking or when he's in the ring. You watch him. I had some awesome, fun matches with Truth, right? And I mean, that's a guy who just gets it, plain and simple. But I am questioning now, again, this is more of a creative standpoint. I mean, are they just not listening to the people? Because my first reaction, again, like I try to be an optimist about all this stuff. Was it just a dead crowd? But then from talking to you guys and then talking to you know, my friend that was there who watches it on the reg, he's like, no, like there really is silent. Like we went back and watched some stuff, you know, from, I mean, God, I think it was like 2014, 2015. The crowd was very different.
Yeah. All right. First of all, sorry. The crowd has been dead for, I don't know, 3-4 months when Ricochet and Aleister Black debuted. And I think it was in Louisiana, right, Steve? I think
yeah,
it was in Shreveport.
The Cajun Dome in Lafayette.
Yeah, Lafayette. The crowd was dead.
Yeah.
Now, that's number one. I attended a hotel.
Okay, the Cajun
Friday.
Dome is a loud building, by the way. Like,
yeah.
The Cajun Dome, like that in Louisiana in general, those are not quiet crowds.
And I attended a host show here in Toronto. at Coca-Cola Coliseum in Toronto. You know, it's very loud. At the best of times, the crowd was dead. The crowd was dead. First of all, I'm surprised it wasn't sold out, considering SummerSlam in a few months is going to be here, and the crowd wasn't into it at all. Sure, they were into a couple of wrestlers or whatever, but they weren't the whole night. It was dead. I was telling my friend there, it's like, is this, you know, it's not normal, the crowd here. Now, secondly, these superstars, okay, NXT, they come from NXT, that's the developmental territory of the WWE. Arguably, NXT is the best organization under the WWE umbrella. Ricochet was a North American champion. Aleister Black was the heavyweight champion. I think Vince McMahon, because they didn't know what they're doing with Roman Reigns, but John Cena's off making movies or whatever, Kurt Angle cannot wrestle again, a Triple H at the time was injured because of that tour in Australia or something like that. So I think Vince panicked and said, okay, let's take the four best talent you got in NXT and put them on here. So, and Tommaso Ciampa, the current champion of NXT, was teaming up with Johnny Gargano. These guys had a very bitter, bitter hatred feud going, and they're supposed to wrestle for the belt of NXT at WrestleMania weekend. Now, Tommaso Ciampa is out 6 months. Now we don't see Johnny Gargano. So, nobody knows what they're doing. And me, Steve, Giancarlo also, and I talk to you, Aaron, about this all the time. This should be the glory days of the WWE. In a few months, they signed a billion-dollar deal to appear on network TV. It should be the glory days. Instead, they're like saying, oh, wait till October, wait till WrestleMania. We're going to build it up. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. I don't know what they're doing. Nobody, Steve, every week we talk, John Krogo, every show we do, nobody understands. 1 week, a guy's a heel. One guy, next week he's a face. Next week he's back to heel. Next week he's back to face. They don't even know what they're doing.
Then that is, and I'm going to say this, and this is as critical as I've been, because, again, I am removed from this situation. I want my friends to succeed. I want the next group of wrestlers to succeed, right? That is a very poor business plan. And I am saying that based off of what I saw. And we talked about ratings and everything else based off of numbers. And with me, who I've always just cared about fans, based off of fan reaction. And that, in my opinion, it's catching up. Because when you do not have, you know, when you rely on one or two stars and you book everything around, like, we're going to build a company around this person because we decide to, if that person gets hurt or goes away or has a movie or whatever, what are you going to do? And you scramble. Instead of building people up and having a strong mid-card so then you can shift guys based on merit. If someone on the mid-card was super over and, you know, what happened with Roman, which, by the way, it was amazing to see him back. He looks great. I was very, very happy for him. Why can't you just plug someone in that position ready to go? And also, with people getting hurt, see, that's the downside of that super athletic style. Look, when you're on the independents and you have one to two to maybe three shows a week, that's fine. I can still walk. I don't hurt when I get up in the morning. I feel like I'm 21 years old. And I don't do, you know, I should keep up on my DDP yoga, which I encourage everyone to try. But I'm not, like, doing all this preventative maintenance, crouching tiger, hidden CrossFit stuff. You know what I mean? I go to the gym, obviously, but it's more for acting. When you have a style like that and people expect you to do crazy stuff every single night with the WWE schedule, when you are working five nights a week or sometimes four nights a week, but you're traveling, you're sleep, there's so many different things, it is not conducive to a long career. And when the top guys are getting hurt all the time, it is because of that. Do you know the one spot where my friend's wife that stood out to her, and look, on paper, with the moves that were done and the match quality in terms of in-ring work, amazing in terms of the athletics. The one thing that my friend's wife, who's, I'm not even going to call her a fan, she's a regular person, was the, when Daniel Bryan yelled at what's his name, and he took his finger and bent it back.
Yeah.
Think about that. Think long and hard about that. Why does the, because look, wrestling fans are going to watch, right? Wrestling fans, if one thing, they are loyal. And I tell you what, I am so grateful for the wrestling fans that they still follow me. I mean, they keep up with me. You know, it to anyone out there that's a fan of mine, believe me, it means the world to me. But in general, wrestling fans are always going to watch wrestling. When I came up with the Sandow character, with the pink tights and the way I talked and everything, I wanted to appeal to the mother and father who were just bringing their kids to the show, right? Mm. They're going to bring their kids to the show because the kids want to see it. Entertain them. Get people that don't really watch wrestling or aren't familiar with the product to care. And you do that with characters. Characters, in my, they drive everything. You know, the Daniel Bryan stuff, oh my God, when I saw him in that title, that is the best, I mean, God, when he's doing the vegan thing and the natural title, I absolutely love that. That's entertaining. That's a character. That's someone you can invest in. And, man, it's like, I don't know what they're doing, what their philosophy is, but it's like send a bunch of guys out to go do flips. It's amazing, but you know what? Fans, they did not seem to care. I mean, I almost fell out of the couch when I saw Ricochet. He did some flip over the post, and then please forgive me, the kid with the beard that wrestled Alamos?
Andrade.
Okay. He did something, and I'm like, my God, that's just, I could never even think of that. Yeah. And again, why isn't the company getting behind these guys and pushing them in a way? And look, you have very smart minds there where, look, you do 1 to 2 flips a match and get it over. Look, out of all Rey Mysterio's moves, the 619 was the most over. And
yeah,
that was, it was an impressive move, but guess what? Some of the other stuff Rey does, absolutely way more impressive to look at, but fans cared. The 619 was the thing. When he did it,
yeah,
it was an event, you know?
Yeah.
And furthermore,
God, what is wrong? Like, I just don't get it. I was, what's that?
Furthermore, on this Fastlane card, listen to this. On the main card, you have, you know, Ladies Revolution, nothing against, but 3 out of the 8 matches were ladies. You had Mandy Rhodes, Baron Corbin, and Tamina on the main card. On the kickoff, you had Rey and Andrade and Shinsuke Nakamura. Not on the show. Not on the show. Randy Orton, Finn Balor, and AJ Styles. Those three guys are your main eventers usually for every pay-per-view card.
Yeah.
That's what I'm...
And I'll tell you... Here's my take on that. Go ahead.
I was saying the three guys that impressed, that I was the most entertained with on the card were, as you mentioned, Daniel Bryan. I thought Truth was fantastic in that U.S. title Fatal 4-Way, and the guy that entertained me the most was when they brought Elias out to make fun of the guys,
yeah,
doing it just jokes. Like that's a guy that knows his gimmick and is living and is working his gimmick as perfect as he can, as it can go right now, and he didn't even have to take a bump.
So let me ask you a question,
well,
Aaron. Okay,
well,
There's so many pay-per-views. The stories are watered down and rushed. Why aren't they going back to, okay, I know they have, you know, it's the WWE Network and all this, and they're on Fox now, and there's usually, I think, what, Steve, Giancarlo, 14, 15 pay-per-views, now 4 to 5 hours of pay-per-view. Why don't they just cut it and have 6 to 8 pay-per-views and have 4-hour shows, but every pay-per-view is 4, 5, 6 hours. WrestleMania, you know, Steve, Giancarlo, is going to start at 5 the pre-show and end at 12. That's 7 hours. And then the next night, 3 hours on Raw, 2 hours on SmackDown. Next before, 2 hours of NXT, and 3 hours of Hall of Fame the night before. Come on.
You know, I am not an executive. So there is a level that, you know, with contracts and networks and whatever. So I don't know what their content quota is, but at some point, you sacrifice quality with quantity. And the thing that I don't get, okay, we all have to work more. Well, you have the talent pool to do that. No question. Work smarter. You know, don't kill yourself every night so everyone's not, you know, on the injured reserve list or half of your main talent is on the, you know, injured list. And now you're scrambling and you're throwing away what could be really awesome, like those two guys next, like Tommaso and Johnny.
Yeah.
You know, you're throwing that away. I got the names right. That's awesome. I've known Tommaso. He's a great kid. But you're throwing your potential stars, and it's disheartening. Now, look, going back to the women, guys like Randy, they will always be stars, pre-show or whatever. Having Randy on there, it encourages people to watch the pre-show, having Ray. Like, that's all. Like, I don't have a problem with that if you're trying to build other stars or whatever. It, now, the line is very blurred between pre-show and that, because I didn't even know there was a pre-show. I thought we were just watching the whole pay-per-view. So that may be, subjective based off of my assessment of it or my ignorance, whatever. But, man, like, and here's my issue. Was there three women's matches?
Yes. Yeah.
Right? All right. No, have three women's matches on the pay-per-view. I have no problem because you know what? With the women's matches I've seen, they delivered just as good as the men. Becky came out limping and everything, and there was, I did not like the fact that she came out limping. They were going fisticuffs, and they ended, like, just kind of standing there. That felt really weird to me, and that wasn't their fault. I'm sure they were told that that's what's going to happen, but if you're going to have a fight and – you know, where Becky seems to have so much steam right now, and good for her, what a talented, talented performer she is, and a good person from, you know, every experience I've had with her. But get the people to care. It's not just, there's three women's matches or three this. No, every match delivered. I mean, in-ring-wise, my God, you could not mess with that in-ring-wise. But, geez, like, come on. Whatever happened to just characters and keeping everyone's character in line and telling a story? And it's almost like they're afraid to get people really emotionally invested. I felt bad for the talent out there. And again, you had your main event. People were obviously into, you had the Shield and everybody. Again, so glad to see those guys. Drew, I mean, I am so proud of Drew. Because you know what, you're not going to find a better performer or human being, in my opinion. And the Kofi thing. So from my assessment and from what I gathered from talking to my buddy Matt, was they're building Kofi like fans want to see him, and they're not giving it to him. I think that's good. I think that's smart. But let's see how they do it. Because, man, if you're creative. Look, bad creative, okay, you can dance around, whatever, but lack of creative, that is an issue. And I was borderline embarrassed when I saw that crowd sitting on their hands.
So I just want to add this point, Aaron.
I felt bad for everyone out there.
I just want to add this point, and Steve, you could back the Steve Giancarlo, you could say what you want here. They brought Aleister Black, they brought Ricochet, they brought Johnny Gargano and Ciampa. I know we mentioned Ciampa and is injured, and Gargano has been on hiatus, but they also brought EC3, okay? EC3, I know he had, on the pre-show.
Very good buddy.
Yeah, but, and listen to this, sort of hitting on Mandy Rose, and now he fought one time on Raw, got a victory. Now he's on main event and lost to Tyler Breeze this week. He lost to Tyler Breeze, Steve, this week. What are they doing with EC3? They just brought this guy up. Okay, is he going to be like Zack Ryder, where he's not on shows or just on main event, or Dolph Ziggler? They just brought this guy up. This guy, like Aaron says, it's a good friend of Aaron, but this guy has talent and goal written all over him, and they're dropping the ball already 1 week into his WWE career.
Yeah, I don't.
That's sticking.
I don't get what they're doing with EC3. You know, because you know I watched Impact for a long, long time, and Aaron knows this, having worked with EC3 in all over the place. And you know, I think that EC3 is, you know, unbelievably talented. He is brilliant on the microphone. He elicits opinions from the crowd, and I think that when this NXT talent is getting to the main roster, I think that the writers, I don't know if they watch their own product. I mean, that's sad for me to say, because you know I respect a lot of those guys, and I understand just how hard it is to put product together as much as they do, as often as they do, having worked in radio and having to do, you know, 3 or 4 hours a day, 5 days a week. You know, doing 20 hours of content is not easy. But I don't know if these guys are watching their own content, because if they go back and they watch what they've done down in developmental with Triple H and what they've done at NXT, and just make, and you don't have to reinvent the wheel when a guy comes up to the main roster, and they should be
exactly
able to get these guys over. The problem is I feel like so many writers are trying to reinvent the wheel, and it's not rocket science, for crying out loud. It's sports entertainment, or if you're like me and you're old school, it's wrestling, for crying out loud. It's not that difficult.
Yes, I agree 100%. And I didn't know about that EC3. And I love Tyler Breeze, by the way. But you have a guy like that, you bring him up, and then that happens. And you know what? It's all, let's test the guy and see where his head's at. Sometimes you need to do that. And look, wrestling, it's entertainment. Anyone is 3 seconds away from being world champion. However, there comes a point to when you go and you have to understand the public perception. I'm an example. I win the Money in the Bank briefcase, and I was told this by a writer that Vince said, yeah, you know what, I don't know. We put the briefcase on Sandow. He's lost too many matches. I don't think people will really buy him as world champion. Well, whose fault is that? Really? Huh. Whose fault is that? I was told, you know, hey, you're going to lose this, but don't worry, you have the briefcase. So what I said was, fine, let me lose, and then can I have 5 seconds to go and steal your uncrowned world champion? I did that. It was working fine, and the decision was made to, you know, obviously drop the briefcase. I think there was other factors in there, but you're going to blame the fact that your creative team or you said you're going to lose tonight. I follow orders. I still keep my heat, and not just keep, but actually got more heat, and then say how, oh, it's kind of my fault because I agreed to lose too much. I was too easygoing. No, I question, again, the decisions. And look, I'm in the past. Like, that's fine. I'm well over that. But with these guys like EC3, come on, the kid's a star. The kid can talk. He's healthy. Let's go. Aleister, right? God, he's got a great entrance. He has an amazing look. He does incredible things in the ring. Can we give him a couple weeks of, you know, of vignettes to explain that character? As good as Ricochet's in the ring. Well, how about we showcase him during, like, God forbid you bring him vignettes or do an open challenge or something like that, or a King of the Ring, because he's King Ricochet. Bring back the King of the Ring. Do they still even have King of the Ring anymore?
No, they don't, but maybe they'll bring it back. But
okay.
But Evan, let me ask you this.
To bring him up that way. you know, something like that to showcase this kid's in-ring ability and put an emphasis on it. Rey Mysterio needs a tag partner. Who's going to happen? Or who's it going to be? All of a sudden, Ricochet shows up. He gets a rub from Rey Mysterio. He showcases his abilities with Rey. Rey can help him mold his style into the WWE style. It's minimum damage to Rey, so Rey's not having to deal with singles matches and everything. It saves Rey's body, and guess what? It builds a star, everyone's happy, and we move on.
So
Eric, is not being discussed at the highest level? I'm not in the business anymore, all right? And I am not bitter. I'm trying to point out all these positives, but my God, from a creative standpoint, can you not hear the fans? It's embarrassing.
So now let me ask you this, Aaron. Okay, you talk about the writers, but isn't it, you always hear this, isn't it, it stops with Vince McMahon. He okays everything. And if he has a creative team, I don't know, Steve, maybe, you know, he has millions of writers and they just hired Shane Helms and Jeff Jarrett, and now Kurt Angle is going to be a backstage role. And everybody has a say.
Are they producers or writers?
Well, they're going to be producers. They're producers.
Okay.
I don't know who's on the writers' team, but it cuts through what goes in. Somebody writes the scripts, and then they pass it to Vince, and he okays it, or you hear about it so many times. Oh, Vince just changed the script on the fly, or is changing everything on the fly. Take us through, because you were backstage. Take us through what actually happens, and does Vince have the final say? And when he looks at the script, does he say, this doesn't work, or okay, go ahead with it, or whatever?
Look, when I was there, and I don't know for now, but when I was there, Vince had the final say. Ultimately, that's what it is. It's funny. It's a publicly traded company, yet one person has the final say. And that's fine, because due to the nature of the business, when you have live TV, you need to have a boss. And Vince is, you know, he's that guy. I would go to Hunter with some things. I went to Vince, it was maybe two or three times, and look, had a very positive experience. Nothing bad to say. Overall show, look, who knows what goes on? Yes, when I was there, Vince ultimately had the final decision. But when I was there, you have God knows how many writers. You have a home team and away team, and let you want to save money on the company, you downsize the writers drastically, because too many cooks spoil the broth, and that's just what it comes down to. In my time there, I got to work with some amazing writers. Matt McCarthy, Steve Oppenheim, I had such a positive experience with them. Mike Notarelli, he is responsible for pushing for the New Day. I was there for that. Like, I was his buddy, and the New Day were his buddies. And when Kofi, Big E, and Xavier wanted to get together, there were so many, like, hey, let's get together and have a group and do it like this, do it like this. And this, it was months. Mike fought for those guys, and he was not a yes man. There's a lot of yes men there, because the writers, oh, be creative, do this. But a lot of them, when Vince says something, they like cower away. It's okay. So what can you do? But this Mike Notarelli fought for those guys, and the New Day, can you tell me a more entertaining act than the New Day? And it was funny, because right after the New Day debut and finally get on TV, it was like a couple weeks later, Mike ended up leaving the company because he really kind of had enough with the, look, you're paying me to be a writer and not letting me do my job, whatever. But, Mike Notarelli needs a lot of credit. Look, I get it. You can have all the degrees you want, right? You can have a degree in screenwriting. You can be a former soap opera writer, whatever. Wrestling is a different animal. I'm all for having someone that has, like, you have what's called a story arc, right? And that's fine. So you're going to have a couple different storylines going on and writers working on it. But you don't need how many different opinions. See, what I would do, I would hire Jeff Jarrett and Shane Helms, and you got Road Dogg in there. Have them be creative. Have them really be the ones that drive the storyline and tell a story, knowing how over the course of weeks or months or, God forbid, a year, to tell a story. And, man, look, people say, all right, well, here's one thing. Here's what I don't agree with, where they say Brock Lesnar, oh, he's a part-time champion, he's this, he's that. No, Brock Lesnar is an attraction. Brock Lesnar is a draw. And I am all, in my opinion, that makes the title that much more important and more special
yeah.
when you have Brock defending it. And look, if I had a company, Brock would be my champion.
Mm-hmm.
So that, there's not an excuse for that. It's the day-to-day operations, how people drive a storyline, how you create stars and get business done and get people emotionally invested. And look, Shane knows how to do it. Jeff Jarrett certainly knows how to do it.
Yep.
You know, Road Dogg, I tell you what, no one was in my corner as far as a creative team and on and from an agent side more than Brian James. And a lot of my success in the WWE I owe to Brian James. And I will say that publicly. And you know what? When I got let go, it meant the world to me that he sent me a text. And it's
yeah.
a little thing, and you know what, when you leave there, I don't expect to hear from anyone. A lot of people did reach out, and it was nice, but it meant the world to me as a human being that Brian sent me that text and that I could go to Brian when I had issues, and Brian was always understanding. And again, like I remember I told him, I forget the exact words, but the last thing I said to him was, the business is better off because you're in it. And I truly, truly mean that. I haven't watched the product in a long time. You obviously know my opinions of that pay-per-view,
mm-hmm.
but Brian always fought for what he believed in. And at the same time, you know, appease who he had to appease. And I don't have enough good things to say about him as a human being.
Well, and,
hey, Aaron,
and here's,
Aaron,
go ahead.
I do have another question, you know, because, so one thing, the other piece, you know, we talk about, you know, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. The other thing that kind of that I think unfortunately everybody is so dependent on nowadays are the scripted promos. I mean, and you've seen what Raw scripts look like. You've seen what pay-per-view scripts look like, and everybody's promos now are scripted down to the word. And you know, I feel like, you know, guys should be able to go out there and you've seen the video that they put up that they used to put on before the television taping with all the Kid Rock stuff. You know, if it sounds cool, you'll buy it, blah blah blah. And but if it's real, you feel it. And you know, on Raw this 2 weeks ago, when Roman Reigns came back and said, "Y'all, I'm in remission," that was a real moment. Because it was a real moment, and I feel like, you know, unfortunately, there's so many people that have to have all of their promos scripted out for them, and they can only be the robot reading the script. And that's why I think that so many guys, you know, and going back to, you know, the Austins and the Rocks and those mm-hmm. guys don't need, you know, scripted promos. Paul Heyman never needs a scripted promo. He can go out there and talk and be able to put butts in seats without having to read the script. And I wish that they would have, let the guys be a little more loose with their promos. I think it would make it a little more authentic, and maybe the audience buys in that way as well.
Yes, the ones that can talk. There's some guys there, and I'm not going to mention any names.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that they need some help with the script.
And that's where that's why guys had managers back in the day, especially the heels.
Absolutely.
But even the baby faces had managers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But there's a lot of guys who don't need that. And, you know, one of the reasons I was, you know, had the success that I did, and when I would get a promo, I had no issue. And again, the writers, if they were cool, like the ones that I mentioned, were just amazing to deal with and awesome. If there was a writer that was, you know, kind of giving a little bit of a feedback, I would go to Vince and I'd say, hey, this is a 3-minute promo. This is what we're selling. Can I please kind of change this and say it my own way? Not one time did Vince say no. He and I, as a performer, and we're being honest here, I am very grateful he let me do that on his show, because it is ultimately his show. However, he trusted me enough to get it done in the right time and to say what needed to be said. And it came out natural, or about as natural as it could have been for me wearing a blue bathrobe and speaking like a disgruntled college professor. But no, it's frustrating to see, again, and the writers are so concerned about keeping their job. It's like, man, look, if you get a screenwriting degree or whatever, go to California, go to Atlanta, New Orleans, they're filming stuff. Go do that. The wheel is round, and unless you're a true fan of this, like, unless you can name me three matches from WrestleMania 3, and I'm sorry, I know, like, I don't want to sound dated because that was before my time, obviously, but the history of the business, you know? Like, that is the kind of stuff that's just missing. It's that drama. It's, again, Piper versus Adrian Adonis, two characters that had an amazing match. And if you rewatch that match from WrestleMania 3, not one single time during that match did that crowd sit down. Not one time.
Here's the funny thing that you mentioned this, all right? They have it in the WWE when you think of NXT. When you think, I just mentioned a few minutes ago, Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano, that feud has been going on for 1 year. They were going to climax the feud.
NXT.
Triple H. So given more of a book, you mentioned Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman, I don't have to tell you, ECW is not ECW without Paul Heyman.
Exactly. And look, again, I haven't seen NXT, but from what you guys tell me and from what some of the people that are fans tell me, and again, I'm not going to, like, any kind of how I feel about anything, like, with Hunter, any personal feelings, you know, aside. And it's not really, like, there's no bad personal feelings there. But he is a wrestling guy. He knows what he's doing. And I just wish that the main roster would be a little more in tune with something like apparently what Hunter's doing, because you just told me like those two guys had a feud for a year. You know what that says to me? Hunter gets it. And obviously the man is very, very smart, and you cannot question his love for that industry. You can't. No matter who he's married to or whatever, the knowledge he has, the passion he has, you cannot question it. And it seems to me like it's really showing on NXT. And, I mean, if you have NXT doing all this great stuff, and then you had – and, again, I do not want to call what I saw an embarrassment because I don't want it to be misconstrued. The men and women worked so hard and put on amazing matches. But from a crowd standpoint where the people are that silent – obviously, I mean, simplicity is beauty, in my opinion. And it sounds to me like NXT is really kind of following that. And you know, it really should not be like, oh, well, when you come to the main roster, it's just crazy up here. Well, look, if you know it's crazy, do something about it. And here's my thing. I think that they do. I think that the people that really understand and have – the knowledge and the foresight try, but ultimately somewhere along the line, and I'm not even going to say, you know, like who knows who's calling the shots up there now, because I'm not there. I am not in a position to comment on the inner workings of that company right now, but somewhere along the line, it's getting misconstrued. Obviously, the NXT product, from what everyone tells me, they're giving fans something that the main roster is not, because man, it's not, you know, or it's not cheap to buy a ticket. And the Cleveland building is very hard to get to, by the way, that and, the one in Atlanta, I always remember having to find the parking to get to those two buildings were always a pain. But look, they're a lively crowd. They want to cheer. You know, these are wrestling fans. And by wrestling, I mean wrestling. And by wrestling, I mean entertainment, athletic ability, but stories. You know, you have different personalities fighting over anything from, you know, a title to pride to whatever. I mean, really, here's the beauty about creativity. I mean, it's out here in Hollywood. There is literally a limitless well of possibilities to draw from. Anything can happen. And the thing is, oh, with booking decisions and people get all nervous. No, you have an endless talent pool. Either you take a chance on someone, but is it really taking a chance because that place is so micromanaged? If someone coughs, they know it. And, you know, God, I'm convinced The Office knows everything everyone's doing. And, you know, again, it can be used to someone's advantage if they want to leave the company, per se, if they know what they're doing. And that's all I'll say about that. But the Office knows everything. And
all right.
That's a good thing. But if you're going to micromanage, you know what kind of people you get. You know EC3 is not going to have a problem putting anyone over. But for God's sake, give the kid a chance. Let him beat people with his finish for a couple weeks on TV. Or inject him in a storyline right away because you know the kid can perform. All right, Aleister Black has – I mean, look, The Undertaker will always be The Undertaker. But the kind of supernatural, weird, like creepy, unknown, right? My God, make that kid a star. Give him vignettes. Just, it's not hard. Get people to when they hear you, they hear his music, they're like, oh, who's this guy? Have them to when they hear Ricochet's music after 4 weeks, you know, whatever his music is, but, you know, that pop, like, yes, we know we're going to see something special. And if it is that, what, the 652 or whatever it's called, I don't know, but, you know, they know, all right, that's what they're going to get. Make them want to see it. And then invest in Ricochet as the person. See, look, that move may have been seen twice a year, right? Well, that was maybe 20 years ago. Nowadays, the style has grown. It has changed. I have no problem. If he can do that, not injure his opponent or himself every night, that's amazing. But make people invest in the man doing the move, not just the move. That's the difference. That is
right.
The difference.
So
stupid elbow drop, that stupid whatever the hell, the Kibito Akiyet. Stupid move. It was a stupid move, but when I gave a guy a Russian leg sweep and made my eyes bug out the size of dinner plates and threw my arm out, it got a reaction. Right?
All right.
Am I right or am I wrong?
Love that.
No, you're right. You're 100% right. But
that's
let me tell
what
you.
Talking about. And man, like, I haven't been this passionate about wrestling in a
This is what I want to see. You've been listening to an outstanding edition of Ask Me Anything featuring Aaron Stevens, formerly Damian Sandow, with Steve Carney and John Carbolino here on Barn Burner. And they say, and you always say, oh, I don't have the passion that I did. I don't watch wrestling. Look, you're a wrestler. Look at the passion coming out of you right now.
You know what? I guess we found that out today. Wow.
Vince McMahon or whoever's listening to this, Impact Wrestling, Ring of Honor, AEW, sign this guy up because I need to be a Paul Heyman for Damian Sandow. Put it that way.
I'm
looking
for a job right now. I'm good.
I am. I'm looking. Steve Carney's got to take over Barry Bruner. I'm looking for a job. I got to be the advocate for Damian Sandow. Steve Carney and John Carbo could take it over. And John Carbo is playing a great role because he's been like the crowd in Cleveland silent throughout this whole show.
Sorry if I cut anyone off.
All right, Aaron, as we close this edition, a great edition, tell everybody how to reach you on Instagram, on Twitter, and everything like that.
All right, you guys can reach me on Instagram at TheAaronPiles. Excuse me. That is THEARON Files. And on Twitter, it is Aaron's Thoughts, ARONF Thoughts.
All right, Steve Carney, any last comments here on Ask Me Anything?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't even get into the thoughts of, you know, I'm always, and I've been so enlightened by this because, you know, much like how I view the radio industry from being inside it and being able, the looking at things from a different perspective than just the normal person, I've loved listening to Aaron talk about the way that he views the product, having been inside, and so he knows what's going on. I think it's fantastic. We didn't even get into, like, Fox Nation. We didn't even talk about going on Fox News with Tyrus and all the great stuff that
Listen, Steve, if you know the radio business, you would know that Fox News better pick us up and put it on syndication and pay us. Come on. Pay us. You know, if it works out for Titus, look, I'll wear a suit. Julie Hinton Green. Come on.
Do you think this podcast will make the news? Do you think, like, the suit sheets will be like, oh, Damian Sandow has gone nuts? Because I hope I did not sound bitter. I was just giving my opinion, and I want to reiterate this. There are so many amazing talents out there, and I was so impressed by how hard those men and women were working, by the athleticism. I don't want to screw anyone's name up, but I mentioned them, so I'm going to keep my mouth shut. But just so much talent. They're working so hard. And I just hope that the company that they work for and that they work for sees that and does everything they can to truly help just make them the stars that I saw and in the fans' eyes, because clearly, you know, if anything else, you know, you can, there's corporate deals going on. They're signing for content and everything else. And you need that. You need business. You need the corporate side of any industry, really, in terms of just the structure of it. But if it becomes so corporate that you lose touch with what your true fan base is, eventually you're going to see that. And I think right now we are seeing that in the fan response, in the ratings and everything else. On the positive side, man, do they have the talent to really, really kick this industry up to the next level, to heights people have never seen before. And I have no plans on going back. Again, this is Aaron. I'm an objective person that used to do this for a living that, I guess I'm a little more passionate about this than I thought.
But, Aaron, listen, as your advocate, do not say, if they say we're going to offer you millions and millions of dollars as your advocate, and I'm taking 60%, you got to reconsider, first of all. And then, Steve and Giancarlo, I got to ask you this. You see what Aaron's talking about. Is this the main reason why a lot of guys are electing not to re-sign deals with the WWE, Steve?
Well, I think that a lot of guys want to try and pursue their creative freedom. Working at WWE, you know that, you know, you're going to get these scripted promos unless you get to the point like Aaron did, where you can go and say, hey, I want to change this so it sounds like it's in my voice. It sounds like something that I would say. There are a lot of folks in a lot of businesses. There's folks in my business that, you know, they don't have the wherewithal or the skill to make it their own creative, and they're able to make it sound like it's coming from their voice. So, I think guys want to test that limit, and, you know, competition makes everybody better. And I think that's the one thing that we'll all agree with is that, you know, when there's competition, and I know that Vince feels this way from talking to people inside that tower and people that have been close to Vince over the years, that, you know, competition only brings up the best in everybody. So hopefully that's the case here as well.
Hey, Steve, as the boss of Barnburner, am I doing something wrong? Do you want to speak up right now so it can tell me what I'm doing wrong? I know you want more Canadian Tire money. It's working. Giancarlo's taking a little bit. I have to give him a raise now since he's editing all my stuff. So, you know, Steve, is there any other problem that you have here with Barnburner?
My only problem is not with Barnburner. Let's just put it that way.
All right, it's not with Barnburner. Okay, but we'll touch on that next week. And now here it is. He's been quiet for too long. Giancarlo, any thoughts here throughout the show? You haven't said anything. You make me feel like the Cleveland crowd. Go ahead, Giancarlo.
Sorry, Giancarlo. No. I was just listening, because it's interesting hearing that perspective that Aaron had as a wrestler and what's going on backstage. Like, I never knew how micromanaged it was, and it's interesting because on the last shows, I've been talking about Aleister Black and Ricochet, how I felt that these guys are separate entities. They coming up as tag teams kind of like takes that aura and that vibe away from them. And I just think that, like, I like your idea of the vignettes. I know from a fan's perspective, like people my age, like in early 20s, they were fans when The Rock was wrestling. And the thing that made them enjoy what The Rock and Austin and Triple H brought is that they're characters, and they made you feel like you care about the character going forward, where their story's going. And I think right now why people don't watch it is everyone's kind of like the same. You don't know where they're going with Ricochet. He just does a flip, but the vignettes, I think, would be an added bonus to get you to hear his backstory, hear him how he became a wrestler, and why he does like a 630 to wow the crowd. So I totally agree with you on the vignette thing.
Yeah, right. and what does a guy like Aleister Black do when hanging out with anybody?
Yeah.
Really? Like, why is he a team with anybody? That, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think him and Ricochet go to, like, gothic nightclubs and hang out. You know what I mean?
Where's the sense? It's like throwing
hanging
them
together
the
through the shake. Oh. But, hey, whatever. I'm sorry. I have to remove myself emotionally now. It's like when I'm coming down off of playing a character, I have to go through this process where I turn into Aaron again. So I guess I'm going to have to do that now. This is crazy.
Yeah, you can be Aaron. I'm your advocate. And remember, if anybody wants to be in touch with Aaron, give him a contract, send him Canadian Tire dollars, anything like that, you go to Instagram, The Aaron Files, and Twitter, Aaron's Thoughts. Aaron, you got the final say as we conclude. Ask me anything this week. Go ahead and kick it off with the main event, your final say.
Thank you guys for listening to me go off. And again, I didn't even know I would be this passionate about something that I have, you know, again, not pushed away, but just have kind of like, in a sense, detached from and then moved on. But I just really hope the best for everyone there. Again, it was great seeing Roman back and healthy. It's great seeing Drew doing his thing. And I just hope the best for the product, because you know what? At the end of the day, like you said, if it's real, you'll feel it. And that goes on that's a two-way street, because if it's not real, well, you know, you're not going to feel it. And there you go.
And Aaron, you know why you feel like this? Because you've been listening to Ask Me Anything, The Road to WrestleMania. This is even Aaron kicked it off here. Even Aaron gave us a notch up from his usual Ask Me Anything. Remember,
that's
send in questions.
Want me to do signings. That's why I've been getting a bunch of calls to go do signings.
No. Those calls you do not take. You give it to your advocate, the one who pays you the most, then you go. Doesn't matter if it's in Canada, in Tampa, in Sri Lanka. I don't care. You just,
you know what, the funny thing is, I was actually going to go take a couple signings just to go do it, but it looks like I'm going to be busy and I'm not going to be able to make it, just some scheduling conflicts. So it's, you know.
All right, send Steve Carney there. Send Steve Carney there.
I would love to get out and see the fans again.
Send Steve Carney there. He'll be your substitute. Send Steve Carney. He knows how to.
I've been told. I'm told that my first signing is going to be at a funeral with a guy named TB.
Oh man, man. Just make sure you have Giancarlo there to edit anything he says.
All right. Well, this has been an outstanding edition of Ask Me Anything. Thank you, guys.